You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 25th, 2020. Once again, another school district deciding to abolish its police force inside the school. Oakland Unified School District doing so last night. The San Francisco board also voting to do the same thing. The LA school board still debating about getting rid of their police department inside the schools. Do you really think that's going to make those kids safer? Do you? I still think we're going to see a serious, bloody day of reckoning if we continue to go down that road. Pew Research Center out with this study, pointing out that only about 1 in 6 protesters over the last month are black Americans. Take a look at the video. And their survey says again, only 1 in 6 are black Americans. Only 17% of the protesters have been black. This report needs to be listened to, but don't get panicked by it. The Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington now estimating by the 1st of October, U.S. coronavirus deaths will number 180,000. That's their prediction. We will see. In the meantime, the U.S. did hit an all-time high yesterday in the new daily coronavirus cases, not deaths, cases, 38,000. And I want you to keep in mind there's a big difference between COVID cases being confirmed and deaths. I'm afraid too many folks are just kind of throwing it all together. And they hear 38,000 cases, that's got to be another 38,000 deaths. It is not. State of Texas and others are trying to decide what do we do as we try to reopen some of our areas. The Texas governor had said local governments can require businesses inside their county or city to mandate customers as well as workers have to wear face masks. One, including Bexar County, decided to do that. Bexar County includes the San Antonio area. Businesses could face fines of up to $1,000 failing to comply. Washington State, the governor says that a new statewide mandate requiring residents to wear face masks will go into effect later this week. Go into effect tomorrow, requiring masks in Washington State in any indoor public space and also outdoors if social distancing cannot be maintained. That would make Washington State among 25 states that as of earlier this week are showing a higher rate of new cases. From Oxford University comes word that they think they might be getting close to a vaccine. They found that 2 doses combined did boost immune response in pigs. Human trials are just starting. Well, the Supreme Court finally gave President Trump and the administration a win when it came to deportation powers. The court ruling today in a key immigration case determining that federal law limiting an asylum applicant's ability to appeal because he lacked a credible fear of persecution in his home country does not violate the Constitution. This means the administration can deport some seeking asylum without allowing them to make their case to a federal judge. It's a 7-2 ruling. Dateline Florida, the governor signing a bill that's going to make a lot of teachers happy, allocating an additional $500 million for teacher salaries. That bumps Florida up from the 26th average teacher salary in the nation to the number 5 ranking. Michael Flynn's lawyers say newly uncovered notes from the former FBI official, Peter Strzok, indicate that then FBI Director Comey appeared to downplay Flynn's calls during the presidential transition. saying there really was not much to it. But inside the notes also revealing that President Obama, Comey, Sally Yates, Joe Biden, and Susan Rice all discussed the transcript of the calls, and that Mr. Obama, President Obama himself, directed that the right people investigate General Flynn. We need to know more about that story. And in the meantime, FBI Director Christopher Wray says, I've gotten rid of all the employees involved in any FISA abuse. We've cleaned it out. It's all good to go. I'll remind you that members of Congress questioned Wray, saying, why were you so slow to act? So is it clean or not?
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Look, the people who are basically tearing down statues, trying to make a statement, are basically borderline anarchists, the way I look at it. They really have no agenda other than the idea we're going to topple a statue because what? It's not going to close the wealth gap. It's not going to give a kid whose parents can't afford a college money to go to college. It's not going to close the labor gap between what white workers are paid and what black workers are paid. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to take people off welfare or food stamps.
That is Robert Johnson, the president of Black Entertainment. I should say the founder of Black Entertainment. It was acquired by Viacom in 2001. And with that and some other things he had going with RLJ Companies, a holding company he has that has numerous business sectors, he became the first black American billionaire. Robert Johnson mocking the crowds, pulling down these statues. You're a borderline anarchist. What are you going to accomplish? We've raised that question before, haven't we? You tear down a Jackson statue. You tear down a Robert Lee statue. Ulysses S. Grant. You mark up and deface even a Lincoln statue. What have you accomplished? As he says, you've done nothing. You didn't do anything to help anyone. So he's mocking it. I want you to know a little bit more background about him before I let you hear some more thoughts he has about what's happening in our nation right now. Robert Johnson was born 1946, Hickory, Mississippi, the ninth of 10 children. His mother was a school teacher, father a farmer. You hear where I'm saying he started? His family moved to Freeport, Illinois when he was a child. He was an honor student in high school. He graduated from the University of Illinois in 68 with a bachelor's degree in social studies. Born the ninth out of 10 children in Hickory, Mississippi, to a mother school who was a school teacher and a father a farmer, and look what he accomplished up to that point. He later got a master's degree in public affairs from the Woodrow Wilson School at Princeton University. He later served as a public affairs director for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. If anyone had told Robert Johnson, you're a black man, you can't really accomplish anything, I think he showed them, didn't he? Again, it's not the color of someone's skin that limits their ability and makes them a victim, unless they want to be. Robert Johnson also has a problem with all this idea that, well, if we clean off all the programs that are on TV that might depict blacks in ways that maybe aren't so endearing or so forth. Well, he says, what good is it to cancel television shows?
It's, people having fun that they can go out and pull down a statue and have the mistaken assumption that black people are sitting around cheering for them, saying, oh, my God, look at these white people. They're doing something so important to us. They're taking down a statue of a Civil War general who fought for the South. Black people, in my opinion, black people laugh at white people who do this. The same way we laugh at white people who say, we got to take off the TV shows. We got to, the Dukes of Hazzard. I'll bet you if you go back and look at the Nielsen ratings when the Dukes of Hazzard were on television, I'll bet you it had a huge black viewing population. And so when I see all these things and, rewriting, putting in front of the Gone with the Wind a disclaimer, what the hell do you need a disclaimer with Gone with the Wind as if black people think that we believe that slavery was like Gone with the Wind? Who are you trying to convince?
He also points out if white people really want to know what slavery was like, it's not in Gone with the Wind, because we know that's not the real story. He said, you look at something like Django. So that'll give you a real indication of black slavery. But he also points out what you have in the midst of these borderline anarchists. And I say they are anarchists, but he says borderline. Is a large number, and he recognizes it as well, of white people involved in these protests for Black Lives Matter. A large number of white people involved in tearing down the statues. And a large amount of white people involved in some of the violence. But at that point, unfortunately, most of the thugs in some of the areas, as you catch pictures of them coming in out of vandalized buildings stealing, unfortunately, it does not show white at that point. And the black Americans taking part in that action are doing nothing to honor the death of a George Floyd or anyone who truly was killed by a police officer who exceeded his authority. As I pointed out earlier in news and commentary, a Pew Research Center pointing out only about 1 in 6 protesters over the last month are black Americans. Only 1 in 6. 17% of the protesters black. You look at the video, it's very easy. You just look at the video, you see a majority of whites. Now, why are they doing this? Well, one, they want to show apparently they have solidarity. They understand. They can feel your pain, and they want to take a lead for you. And they certainly don't want to be labeled racist because they're not taking part in it. What does Robert Johnson think about that attitude?
White Americans seem to think that if they just do sort of emotionally or drastic things, that black people are going to say, oh, my God, white people love us because they took down a statue of Stonewall Jackson. And so to me, It falls into that an attempt by white Americans to assuage guilt, things that make them feel good.
I think he nailed it. He also added, and some of you won't like to hear this, and I'm not in favor of what he's suggesting here, said, you really want to make black Americans feel good, then consider reparations for slavery. You write every black American a $11,000 check every year for the next 30 years. He said, that'll make us feel good. You want to do that? And he said, that's where the white Americans say, no, I don't think so. But what he's saying is all they're doing is just trying to deal with their white guilt. And in fact, he also mocked white celebrities, those on Hollywood circuits and so forth, because they and others come out and apologize for being white. I'm apologizing because I'm white in my white privilege. Listen to Robert Johnson.
That to me is the silliest expression of a white privilege that I have that exists in this country. The notion that a celebrity could get on a Twitter feed and say, oh my God, I am so sorry that I am white. I don't find any black people getting on this Twitter and say, oh, I'm so sorry I'm black. And we got the worst problem hand dealt to us of any people in this country. But we aren't running away from being black. We're embracing being black. And my thing is, embrace you being white and do the right thing, and then you don't have to worry about being sad because you're white. And so to me, when I see all of this, changing names, toppling statues, firing professors because they said all lives matter, it just shows me that white America is continually incapable of recognizing that black people have their own ideas and thought about what's in their best interest.
And you know, to that point, you look at black Americans who have publicly sided with Donald Trump. And they get blasted by other black Americans, but they also get blasted by white Americans who say that they obviously don't know what they're doing. In other words, they can't be thinking on their own. They're going to tell you what's in your best interest. Robert Johnson says we can decide for ourselves what's in our best interest. He's talking about that as a culture, a gathering of all black Americans, and as individuals. And what one black individual decides is in his best interest might not be in the best interest of other black Americans. But they make the decision. Back to this issue of trying to go around the country, creating violence, mayhem, chaos, tearing down statues.
If you want to decide on statues and you want to treat black people right, why don't you do this? Why don't you get, you know, a group of black people together and say, before we go knock down the statue of, you know, Ulysses Grant, or are we going to knock down the statue of, what do you guys think? Give us the belief that you respect our opinion. You go out and do something and destroy something, fire somebody, because you think it hurts us. Why don't you ask us first if it hurts us before you go and say, oh, I got to do something for the Negroes to make them feel better? To me, what white people are doing with the idea that they're making us feel good is tantamount to rearranging the deck chairs on a racial Titanic. It absolutely means nothing.
That's a great analogy. Rearranging the deck chairs on a racial Titanic. If you just rush off and doing this, thinking this is what the black people will want, this will make everybody happy, this will resolve and solve all the issues, and even ask, you haven't even asked her a question of the black community. Now, of course, there are those inside the black community that have been taking part in this as well. Black Lives Matter, and you're going to hear in the next segment from the Black Lives Matter leader in New York City who's calling for violence. So I want you to hear the other side presented by a black man instead of just Robert Johnson. I gave Robert Johnson this extensive platform and allowed so much from him because of his position and weight he carries, much more than the New York Black Lives president. I'm not saying that one is better than the other. I'm just talking about the platform and what they've achieved and where they stand and what impact they can have. When someone like the founder of Black Entertainment Television says, you know what? In my opinion, black people laugh at white people who do this, tearing down these statues. The same way we laugh at white people who say we got to take off the TV shows. And, of course, mocking white celebrities as they apologize for being white. Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, references statues. He said, we're seeing, unfortunately, the statue police. We see it on TV trying to turn our cities into scenes from Mad Max. Mayor Speaker Pelosi and others allowing it. They think all these folks need hugs and hot cocoa. He said, I think they need to go to jail and be made to clean up their mess or pay for it. Anarchy is not harmless fun. Anarchy is not harmless fun. And I remind you, by the way, back in 2017, Trump began to talk about then. He said, you watch, we're going to see folks trying to tear down Washington and Jefferson monuments and attacking them. He said, this week it's Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson next, and then Washington next week, Thomas Jefferson, and the Last Week Tonight TV show host John Oliver mocked President Trump, saying, no, it's not going to happen like that. Come on. What do you see happening around you right now? Right now. Take a break. Come back with words from the Black Lives Matter leader. You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Let the midnight special.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
If this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it, all right? And I could be speaking figuratively. Okay. I could be speaking literally. It's a matter of interpretation.
The words of the Black Lives Matter in New York City, Hawk Newsom. So when he says, if we don't get what we want, we're going to burn down the system. He says, you can take it literally or not. A matter of interpretation. Well, that's not a good idea. Make it very clear. Because there are obviously two thoughts in play. That was part of an interview he did on Fox News. Black Lives Matter. We have reported to you previous times that the founders of Black Lives Matter, the original founders, have acknowledged we are a Marxist organization. That's their intent. And, of course, they like to point out how this country was founded, saying this country was founded on violence. Why are you upset about violence now? Yes, we had the American Revolution from 1775 to 1783. American patriots in the 13 colonies defeating the British to establish this country. But now we have a country established. We have a constitution. We have laws. And we did have a battle to rid the nation of slavery. Lives lost on both sides. And we don't want to have that happen again. And the Black Lives Matter leader in New York City said, nobody's talking about ambushing police. We're talking about protecting lives. He said, we talk about uplifting, upholding the Second Amendment. But it's hypocrisy when black people start talking about arming themselves and defending themselves. They consider that talk violent. Well, I disagree. I don't consider that violent. They're getting it to defend themselves. That is their Second Amendment right as well. I do consider what happened with a couple of North Carolina cops to be violent, and they're being let go and going to face some repercussions. And I'm glad they apparently were caught on their camera video in their vehicles, three of them, being fired the other day because the dash camera showed them talking about racial slurs, profanity, one of them saying at one point, turning to the topic of protests across the nation, and he makes a remark that we're going to come to a time that we're going to need a civil war to wipe them off the effing map. He said, we're going to go out and start slaughtering them effing ends. I can't wait. God, I can't wait. That's a police officer. Was. Sitting in the privacy of his police car thinking nobody's listening. And it got recorded. Good. Good. And by the way, I don't want to squeeze it in here because I want some full explanation for you. The Black Lives Matter leader says, I'm a Christian, and I don't have time for you to hear his remarks on that, and I want you to hear them. We'll do that in the last segment. But coming in the next segment, we've got Hans von Spakovsky on the Michael Flynn ruling. But we will pick up with that discussion from Hawk Newsom of Black Lives Matter and his statement about, I'm a Christian. I believe in the Lord. So don't miss that part as well. Stand by for Hans von Spakovsky.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind, you just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, we had the appeals court panel decide to end the Michael Flynn case, telling the judge overseeing the case, Judge Emmett Smith, to do what the Justice Department said, dismiss the prosecution of General Michael Flynn. Remember, the judge didn't want to, called for other lawyers come forward as a friend of the court and argue as to why they should continue to prosecute Flynn, even when the prosecutor said, we got nothing. Hans von Spakovsky joining us from the Heritage Foundation, expert constitutional law. Glad to have you back on board, Hans.
Larry, thanks for having me back.
So let me get your take when we saw the ruling come out yesterday from the appeals court panel.
Well, I was very pleasantly surprised that they actually did the right thing. They followed the law, unlike Judge Emmett Sullivan, who refused to dismiss the case. And what folks have to understand is this is such a rare occurrence. Writs of mandamus are not often filed or granted. What a writ of mandamus means is, and what Flynn's lawyer, Sidney Powell, did is when Sullivan, the trial judge, refused to dismiss the case, she filed what's called a writ of mandamus with the appeals court saying, you need to order the trial judge to properly carry out his duty. So a writ of mandamus is when you basically say that your judge is acting improperly, and an appeals court, a higher court, needs to tell him to do his job. And that's exactly what they did yesterday. They held that Sullivan was acting outside of the law, outside of his authority, when he refused to dismiss the case. When the government came in and said, This case needs to be dismissed because, one, we have found FBI misconduct. And second, remember, Sidney Powell, the lawyer, said that they had exculpatory evidence, the DOJ did, that they didn't turn over. And you have to do that. And so justice said, look, we can no longer prove beyond a reasonable doubt that, in fact, Michael Flynn is guilty of the crime with which he's been charged, which was, you know, supposedly lying to an FBI agent. But the whole problem with that was the FBI had no basis to be talking to Flynn in the first place.
There was no crime to begin with, right?
Exactly right.
I want to break that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to break it down in several parts here. I want to break it down in several parts. And you mentioned this exculpatory evidence and new information coming out late yesterday I want to get to in a moment. But a couple things first about the ruling out of the appeals court panel. And again, that's not the full D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, but a 2-1 ruling out of the court. And did they say he did not follow the order, did not do proper? Did they give a reason? Do they try to justify why he did? I mean, do they say anything about it as a political action as opposed to a legal action?
No, they just said that what he was doing was wrong. And not only was it outside of the rules of criminal procedure that govern the federal courts, but it violated Supreme Court precedent. And they were really troubled. That's the word they use. They were really troubled by the judge opening up the case to members of the public to intervene and file amicus briefs, and his hiring of this guy, John Gleason, a retired prosecutor, federal judge, to file an amicus brief. And then they criticized Gleason and his amicus brief because they said that he made all these charges against the Justice Department based on, this is a quote, news stories, tweets, and other facts outside the record of the court.
Hey, I believe everything I see on the news, Hans, don't you? I mean, really. Well, one other point along this line.
Yeah.
Does a judge now have to follow this, or can he go back and appeal again to the full court?
I guess there could be an appeal to the full court, and that's, look, this ought to be the end of the case, but the way federal appeals courts work is that because they have so many cases, the first time a case gets to the appeals court, it's heard by what's called a three-judge panel. So it's just three judges of that appeals court randomly assigned. But any of the judges on the appeals court, if they don't like a decision by a panel like this, and they want the entire court to take the case, they can ask that the entire court review the case.
Now, is that limited to the three that actually heard this and the one that lost the vote, or the other three judges that were not even part of that hearing?
Other judges that weren't part of this can ask for the entire court to look at it. And I guess Judge Sullivan could ask that the entire court look at it, too. Hopefully that won't happen, because this case, it just needs to end. Sullivan was just dead wrong in what he was doing.
So let's look at some of this new evidence, and part of it coming out as it was presented in the notes from Sidney Powell, Flynn's attorney, the other day. Apparently notes handwritten by FBI agent Peter Smurf. Oh, I'm sorry, Stroke. I still call him Smurf. And indicating that there was a conversation taking place in the Oval Office and what was being said. And the dates on these notes, apparently in early January, possibly between January 3rd and January 5, and it was January 4 that you had former President Obama, James Comey, Sally Yates, Joe Biden, Susan Rice, discussing the transcripts of Flynn's calls and what to do next.
No, that's right. And those notes make it, I think, pretty obvious that they actually knew that they didn't have a basis for investigating Flynn, but they wanted to go after him because, apparently, they wanted to go after anybody they could in the incoming Trump administration. So this really makes it look as if they were using the powerful law enforcement authority of the FBI to target an incoming administration of the opposite political party for partisan purposes. And I cannot think of anything worse than that kind of an abuse
and the part
of
that,
the powers of the FBI.
And the part that stands out on these handwritten notes by Peter Strzok, he was identifying the Comey, the director of FBI, with the letter D, and he wrote that the calls, the Kislyak calls, the ones to the Russian ambassador, were legit. In other words, they were accepting they were legit. They told the president, Obama at the time, they are legit, and the additional notes show that Obama told them, put the right people on the issue.
Right. And also, they seem to indicate that the guy in the meeting who said, oh, I think there's a potential violation of what's called the Logan Act here, was Joe Biden.
Yeah, Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And, of course, Biden couldn't remember even being in the meeting for a while, remember?
Right, right.
He's been back and forth on that. So how damaging is this? You know, obviously, the Flynn case should be kicked, but how damaging is this going forward as to what was taking place and how high up it went when we have a conversation direct out of the Oval Office as documented by Agent Strzok? And I don't think he's wanting to follow in his own sword and let everyone else get off. What do you think?
No, I agree. I think folks in the Obama administration, former folks in the Obama administration, I think they all probably want, as much as they can't stand Flynn and they don't like the Trump administration, I think they probably want this case to end here. Because the longer it goes on, the more information we may get about the involvement of the president and the former vice president, who's now running for office, in coordinating, instigating, supervising a partisan law enforcement investigation against a political opponent.
So I wonder if some calls are being made to Judge Emmett Smith, Sullivan, say, hey, cease and desist, just do what you're told now.
Well, I don't know if those calls are going on, but I'm sure that's what, like I said, former Obama administration officials probably hope will happen.
One other thing I'd like to see if you want to weigh in on this, Christopher Wray is now saying in an interview yesterday that I've done everything. I've gotten rid of all the folks that were involved in any abuse of the FISA. They've been terminated, retired, or resigned, and gone way and above the recommendations of the FISA abuse IG report. More than 40 corrective measures going into effect. Do you think it's good and clean now or not? Or you want to weigh in on it?
Well, if that is true, then yes, he finally has done what he should have done a while ago. But what I still want, you know, it's one thing for FBI's engaged in wrongdoing to be terminated. That should happen. But if they actually broke federal law, they should not only be terminated, they need to be prosecuted. And for that, we still have to wait for the end of the John Durham investigation.
And members of the Obama administration, charges?
I'm hoping that if anybody, like I said, broke the law, particularly the people who abused our intelligence gathering capabilities by unmasking intercepts, I'm hoping that they get charged, and I hope John Durham is looking into that.
And in the last 20 seconds for you, Michael Flynn, all he's lost, what's he getting back in return at this point?
Well, at least he's not going to jail, but apparently, you know, not only has this shattered his reputation, but it has financially drained him, paying for the defense of himself against this abusive prosecution, even to the point where apparently he and his family had to sell their family home to pay for it.
Hans, I do appreciate you taking time to join us again, sir. We'll always appreciate your expertise, sir.
Thanks for having me.
You bet we'll do it again. Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. When we continue, I want to go back to the Black Lives Matter leader out of New York talking about being a Christian. I want you to hear it.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Of May. is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So earlier I was letting you hear comments from the Black Lives Matter leader in New York, Hawk Newsom, as he was on Martha McCallum's show. And he was talking about that if this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down the system and replace it. I could be speaking figuratively. I could be speaking literally. It's a matter of interpretation. I have a problem with that statement that he didn't clarify directly, because he went on to say, I don't condone nor do I condemn rioting. In other words, I'm giving you a door open. And, of course, referring to the American Revolution and how this country got founded. McCallum read a statement from Dr. Martin Luther King when he addressed the Southern Christian Leadership Conference convention in 1967. And I want you to hear this and then give you a little bit more background on Hawk Newsom, because sometimes because someone is with a particular organization, you might have already boxed them in your mind in a certain category. You shouldn't do that. But here's a statement that she was reading from Dr. King. Let us be satisfied. This is again 1967. I'm sorry, it says 1967. Let us be dissatisfied until that day when nobody will shout white power, when nobody will shout black power, but everybody will talk about God's power and human power. The words of Martin Luther King Jr. in 67. Hawk Newsom, the president of the Black Lives Matter organization in New York, had this response.
I love the Lord, and my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the most famous black radical revolutionary in history. And he was treated just like Dr. King. He was arrested on occasion, and he was also crucified or assassinated. This is what happens to black activists. We are killed by the government.
Now, don't jump ahead of me and say, oh, the Lord, Jesus was not black. Hang on a second. When he said Jesus Christ is the most famous black radical revolutionary in history, just deal with the fact of why Jesus Christ came to the earth. If you follow the Bible and you believe the Christian story, which I do, Jesus Christ did not come to overthrow Rome and all the governments. He was not trying to establish new government. He was here to save sinners and win souls. And in fact, that is why many did not like or trust him, because he wasn't turning things upside down. They wanted things remade. They were already slaves under the Roman Empire and elsewhere. They didn't want that. And he didn't do it. He was here to save souls, not create a new government. So you could say he's a revolutionary. Now, what about his remark about black revolutionary? I want you to hear again what Hawk Newsom says.
If you read your Bible, it will say that Jesus had feet like burnt brass and hair like wool. I don't know if you noticed, but our hair seems to be more like wool, and we seem to be likened to that color than anyone else. And, you know, it's just the hypocrisy and the white supremacy in America and in the world that would show us portraits of a pasty white Jesus. Jesus was not white. We all know this.
And I'm going to agree with Hawk Newsom on that. That time and that part of the world, I don't know if white actually existed. I don't know. But there's no doubt that Jesus from that part of the world, Jewish descent, that it was not, quote, white, pasty white, as often portrayed. And it is correct. The Bible describes his skin being like bronze, tarnished bronze maybe, and the hair woolly. And as you heard Hawk Newsom said, well, that kind of describes us. The only reason I'm spending extra time on this part is for two reasons. One, to give you insight on someone that you may already put in a box because of his remarks. If this country doesn't give us what we want, we're going to burn it down. And then admits, I could be speaking figuratively, I could be speaking literally. And of course, he also says, I don't condone rioting, but I don't condemn it either. So that's their balance. And he says, I love the Lord. He said, I love the Lord, my Lord and Savior. And then the reference of Jesus' color, we really shouldn't be arguing about that at any point, my friend. I think if he were here, he'd probably be saying, the last thing you should be concerned about is my color. We should be concerned about your soul and your future and your life and with my Father in heaven. All right. You can weigh it out and think about it. I do appreciate you listening. I appreciate you spreading the word to others about this program. We are growing by leaps and bounds because of you. And I truly appreciate it. If you miss anything, go to Larry Connors USA Facebook. Quentin will have them up as a podcast shortly. And of course, you know that you can write it down on your calendar for everyone else for tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.